not about money, is it? It's about people. It's about helping and coming alongside and building into them. There is such an amazing testimony that covers, I guess, our heart for everyone we're connecting. Now, not everyone necessarily goes the journey like they do, but that's the intention and the hope. And you know, we've been able to journey with some people in similar ways. But, you know, in that, you can see the place of the church, the place of you and me and us, to be able to get alongside people and help them grow. And so one of the ways we do that is through support workers. And a bunch of you have been out on some visits with Alan. But this morning, I'm just going to ask Lindsay to come on up. And she said she would be happy to share something of her journey and what she's learned. I've just done mic two there for her. So, so Lindsay, what is it? What's it been like being a support worker for CAP?
Is this on? Yes, it is. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's really good, actually. It's really, it's actually very humbling going around to people's homes, and it's also very encouraging for us to just sit there and listen to their story and actually be there in someone's vulnerable time. And actually, I think they're very brave coming forward and telling us their story at a time when they're struggling. And that's what I really find humbling. Excuse me, I've got a toad or a frog in my throat. And it's really lovely, because we do, Alan and I, when we've got a client, we call them clients, we'll often meet here just before we go down to meet a client, and we'll have a prayer. We'll have a prayer about what we're going to do, and obviously pray into our people that we're going to be helping and encouraging. And also, when we get there, we have a prayer. If Alan hasn't gone on too much, then we can sorry, Alan, I don't mean that. We can rein Alan in and we can bring him back and remind him about a prayer. And so we do that too. And obviously, if we see a need to, sometimes I don't mean that meanly, Alan. That is not true, what I just said. Alan does not need reining in at all. But quite honestly, if we see a need there too, Alan doesn't mind if we stop and we pray for that person's need at that very time, at that very moment. So it's all very natural, actually. It just happens, doesn't it? And sometimes, we pray at the end too. And I just think it's very humbling. And it is good to be able to help. And I'm just encouraging anyone that's out there, if you've got a couple of hours that you can spare, because sometimes we're not always available, there are a group of people helping, but sometimes it's handy to have other people on the team. And and we encourage and we enjoy and we pray. And it is a wonderful experience, actually. Yeah, thank you, Alan. And he's very good at his job. Yeah, and also we're going to be this year learning. We're going to be training up a little bit, aren't we? So I've put my hand up for that, because you're never too sure when to know to speak. And we're going to learn. We're going to have a learning program, aren't we, about that this year at some point, aren't we? I believe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a blessed day, and more so, have a blessed week. Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah, so CAP are starting a support worker training sort of thing that I've been in talks with. No details yet. I have to crack the whip with Abel, but we're looking at that, how to support people that want to get involved and give them a bit more tools would be a good way to do it as they do that, and be really cool. Hey, Alan, can I put you on the spot just for a moment? Going completely off script here, you'd love this. Would you like to come here and just, I was going to ask you a same question, like for you, I know your heart, so come on, you can do this. You don't have to preach a sermon. And Lindsay will tell us when to pray to shut you up, no? No, I was just thinking, I mean, you're such an amazing man, got such a heart for. So what I was going to say is, what's it been like for you in the role? And there's ups and there's downs, there's frustrations, but overall, what's it been like partnering with Kat, being the debt coach, is sort of the face of Kat for us, being the person on that front face, leading the support team and all that. Yeah, off the top of your head.
Thank you, Royce.
Shall we pray?
it's what it's been like for me. I think there's been roller coasters, ups and downs, but that's life, and that's life. But to me, when I came there, I remember when we talked about starting CAP, and I remember going out for a walk, and I was down Moon Street, and God said to me, he said, and I was tossing up whether I wanted to be the CAP thing. And God said to me, this is your community. And we went to CAP because we wanted to do something in our community, which was, I don't put it real, but that's what it is, because it is real, it's practical. You get into someone's house and then talk about their debts and that, but also talk about Jesus. And so that was a way. So that's probably, there was ups and downs. There was certainly ups and downs. But over that period of time, I certainly don't regret it, that's for sure, because it built me up too as a person. And so I had to stop or sometimes being judgmental or things like that when there's things happening. There was some that.
It has been up and down, Jenny.
There's ups and downs.
I mean, that story's wonderful, isn't it? But it's not everyone's story.
But it's exciting.
But it's exciting, yeah.
It's been exciting because you don't know what's happening next, quite frankly. So we're supposed to go to a script, but but you don't know. You don't know what a person wants or what they need or what they want to give you. Not give you mean as much as they want to talk to you about their debt. And so, but it is exciting, and it's certainly, I would recommend it, quite frankly.
Awesome. For me, yeah. Wonderful. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. And So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand over to Sam, and you're going to take over from here and give us some stats and some info and whatever else you feel like doing.
Kia ora koutou and good morning. Great to be able to celebrate with you today and to encourage you. Yes, my name is Sam. I have had the privilege of leading Christians Against Poverty for the last 4 and a bit years, but I've been involved with them for over 11 years now, which is a big portion of my life in various roles, and was around when this partnership got off the ground and began. So really, really humbling to be able to stand here today and celebrate with you all, to know that Royce and Alan, myself and Karen in a different capacity, we were all involved back then, and to stand here today and see what's come about of that is really amazing. So I hail from the mighty Bay of Plenty. That's where I was born and raised, but I do currently live in Auckland with my wife and 3 kids under 5. So a lot can happen in 10 years, and for me across this time, it was going from being single to 3 kids under 5, and that is nothing on the fruitfulness of this work that we are going to celebrate this morning. So whether you have walked all of this journey with us or maybe you're hearing about CAP for the first time today, my hope today is that you are encouraged by what God has done, is doing, and that you may be inspired to see what God is yet to do here through you and in your community. So we've heard a little bit of that testimony and we've seen a bit of the work, but for those who are less familiar, we partner together, CAP is an organisation in Wainui Amata Baptist, to run services around supporting people who find themselves in money chaos. So there is an office based in Auckland that provides some centralized expertise and know-how. And as a church, you hold that on-ground presence and relationship and journey with people that together we are serving. And so through these services, we are together sharing the love of Jesus with people, offering prayer, visiting people in their homes, and inviting them into your faith community, sharing testimony as we do that. So it is a great approach, and it isn't possible without you here doing your part. So I want to encourage you by what you have seen take place here through this work alone. So you've visited 132 families in their home. That's a lot of families. Most people don't know where Wainuiomata is, let alone that there's 132 families. I'm joking. That's mean, isn't it? That's meaning. So in all of this, you're sharing the love of Jesus in some way, shape, or form with people. And some of these people have been taking steps closer to Jesus, and some have even said yes to relationship with Jesus along the way, which is amazing. So far, 33 whānau have gone completely debt-free, which is awesome. That's awesome. There's another 7 who are on that journey. So that journey takes on average 2 to 4 years. So it's a free service. No one's paying their debt off for them. They are the ones who are repaying their debt. So we cheer them on along that journey. So there's 7 more you're working with. There is another 4 who are being onboarded into that journey and program some way, shape, or form in process. So we celebrate all of them. As it's been said, not every single person goes the distance, but we love celebrating all of the milestones and steps along the way. When people first start working with CAP, we see that there's about an average of $110 that they are spending on food. And so we also know that about 75% of people that are reaching out to the work of CAP and what you're doing here are skipping meals. So once we get that budget in place, and you heard why I talk about it, we have a priority that we put on that food for people and allowing them to increase. And so I'm not quite clever enough on my maths to take that increase and figure out applying it across all of the people you've journeyed with or through, how many weeks that is. But you get the sense there across 133 whānau and how many weeks that they would have been working with us, that you've increased the amount of food that is going on the table in your community significantly. On top of that, over $1 million of debt and bills has been repaid or written off here in your community. That's just here in your community across 10 years. And so why we celebrate that is not just because it's a huge number, but what it means is that that is prioritizing food and prioritizing people's spending to go to the things that they need. It is redirecting their money to the things that they need that are the right things to live in freedom. So good, right? And you've been running the CAP Money service along the way. You might have even started with the CAP Money service first in that way, and across which teaches people to budget and save and spend within their means. And so you've run 27 CAP Money courses, engaging over 89 households in that, giving them those skills that they need to be able to navigate these challenges in life. On top of that, you have started the Life Skills Program. That was another service that CAP was doing for a while. We have less stats on that. That rounded out in due course in that as well. But just to acknowledge all of the different ways that you have said, we want to step into our community and address these people's needs around money. And there's this saying that actually comes from John Kirkby, the founder of CAP, which says that we often overestimate what we can do in 1 year and underestimate what we can do in 10. And I think the work that we've got here, despite the highs and lows and the ups and downs, is an amazing example of that. You know, over and over again, your team have been agents of hope in what might look like hopeless situations. And so we want to say thank you to the leadership team here. Thank you for your belief in CAP. Royce, thank you for the journey that you've walked with us across this period of time, for your heart for this work. We want to acknowledge, and particularly those that have served in this centre. Alan, you've been brought up to share some thoughts. We thank you for your work. You are well respected by your peers and the team at the support office who champion you. You have worked tirelessly in this work. And so it isn't always easy. It isn't always glamorous. It isn't always thanked. So we want to take a moment to thank you, mate. And so if you want to come on up, we've got a few things. Again, we're going to make you the center of attention. Just lean in. It's happening. Just lean in. It's happening. If you want to come on up, mate. Karen, who has journeyed alongside you in many ways, we just want to say thank you so much for your mahi. And we have a koha here for you. And we've got some flowers for you, and we've got a few other things in there to acknowledge and celebrate 10 years of day in, day out choosing it. I think, just stay there a bit, just stay there, you're not done yet. I think Karen just wanted to say a few words as well, and so might a few other people.
Kia ora, everyone. Alan, it is such a privilege to walk alongside you, to work alongside you. We trained together 10 years ago, and we were remembering this morning bonding over our shared challenges of learning the deck coach role through role plays. One of your favourite things, Alan. So that was lovely. But a couple of words come to mind for me when I think of the work that you're doing. First is faithfulness. You have been really faithful over this long journey, just hearing how God called you and how you have continued to be faithful. And the way that you gracefully walk alongside clients, you pray with them, you are graceful in loving them and sharing the love of Jesus with them. So we just want to honour and thank you today, Alan. Bless you.
And as a church too, we just want to really thank and honour you, Alan. But not only Alan, but Alison, who with gracefully came knowing she was going to come up on the stage. So Alison, could you come up, please? No, you need to. You really need to. Go on, Sarah, you bring her up. Because I think one of the things that I've observed having journeyed for 10 years is that Alison's just been quietly in the background supporting, encouraging, letting Alan do what he does. But often you've been a support visitor, haven't you? You've gone out with Alan at times when there hasn't been someone else. I've seen her turn up when sort of with the Christmas things and basically I think organising Alan, because Alan's like me, he's not particularly great at organising some stuff. And it's all that stuff that you don't always see. And it's just been such a blessing to just observe that from a distance. And so we just want to honour both of you and thank you so much for what you've done. So you're a part of it, Alison, so thank you. So can I pray for you guys? Father, we just want to thank you for people like Alan and Alison. Lord, sometimes we look at people that are running big organisations or people that have a big name, but Father, you work in people that are just humble enough to get on board with what you're doing. And I thank you for what you've done through Alan and Alison, through just their heart for their community. Lord, that we just thank you for all the work, the kingdom work that's gone out through their efforts. Lord, we may never know the fruit of that, the fullness of the fruit, but I know that you do. You see it, and we just thank you for what you're doing through this couple and through the support team and the others that have been around them. May it continue to be a much fruit for generationally moving into the future through our community. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
It's so good to celebrate and just really honour you guys today. And I know that you're not alone. I want to acknowledge, and I won't get everyone, so forgive me, but I just want to acknowledge Rose. I know you stepped into that work for a period as well, and so thank you for your willingness. Lindsay, it's been great to hear from you and the supporters and the various team that has been going out and supporting in that way. I want to acknowledge those that have been involved in the Cap Money course. I believe there's six or more people have been running that involved, which is just amazing in that. And I also want to thank for the unseen spaces, those that are maybe perhaps making meals or dropping food off or and supporting people in different ways, and those that have been supporting it, obviously, financially, this work to happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do. It really does take a church to run this type of ministry, and we are thrilled to be partnered with you and seeing how you run that. You are nailing it, church. And as we reflect on this work, I've been reflecting on an illustration that Jesus gives us that enables us to view some of this celebration in a real kingdom sense, and at the same time provides us an ongoing challenge. So turn with me, if you have your Bible, or swipe with me if you're on a device, to the book of Matthew 5:13. I can gently put it up if you want. There it is. So this here is a reasonably well-known piece of scripture, but I will read it for us this morning. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." So this piece of scripture is found following the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, I want us to really focus on the first seven words of it. You are the salt of the earth, that first sentence we see there on the screen. I'm going to do my best to unpack this without insulting you. That's for you, mate. I heard that in the pre-meeting, puns were appreciated, so there are a few more peppered in, so keep your ear out. Hey, so in this verse, in these first seven words even, we find a really clear directive. And then we find a clear picture of what that is. And so the directive is those first two words, simply, "You are." You know, Jesus is not posing this as a question or a variable. It is clear. And if we needed to just make sure that we get the point, I love the way the Message translation puts it. It says, "Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt." So we have this very clear directive for us in the scripture. But it is only a directive for us as long as we understand the picture that follows, or the illustration. And the thing, like most illustrations, is that they make the most sense to the audience that they're intended for. The thing for us is salt may have lost its flavor over time a little bit. I'll keep going. So for us, when we think of salt, we probably picture something like this: good old-fashioned iodized table salt. We all have this in our home, highly refined, it's highly convenient, but this certainly is not the picture that Jesus is conveying and trying to get across to his listeners. See, this is something that we probably take for granted, we use it for one application, and we'd give probably a very little thought to the value that it has, if at all. The context that Jesus is in as he is sharing this verse is obviously during his life. It's estimated to be around AD 30. So, and in this day, salt was so much more than just a condiment. It was a highly desirable commodity that had an incredible influence on society. Many years back, I was fortunate enough to visit Croatia and stop at a place called Ston. Now, the first recorded mention of Ston comes from the Roman occupation for it in 167 BC. So that's 200 years before the scripture that we're looking at this morning has been shared. And Ston is believed to have existed long before this. In fact, Ston is the oldest active salt pans in the world. It uses an ancient process. It looks like this. It uses an ancient process that only uses the sea, the sun, and the wind. And basically, it's got all of these different pools that you see there on the screen. And water progressively moves through them, getting shallower and shallower and shallower, slowly evaporating water until only salt is left. It's a pretty remarkable way to be harnessing the natural elements. And in doing this, still to this day, this is active. Hundreds and hundreds of tons of salt, sea salt, are harvested each year. Now, these are the types of images and processes that the audience that Jesus is speaking to would have been aware of and had an appreciation for. this was existing 200 years or more before Jesus is sharing this story. Similarly, at this time, it wasn't uncommon for a Roman soldier to be paid in salt. And this is where we get our expression that when we say that someone is worth their salt. Now, the reason that salt was so highly valued is that it had three main applications in this day. And these are the applications that Jesus is pointing us to emulate. The first is that salt preserves. Now, I'm going to assume that most of us have an understanding that salt was key in the preservation of food in Jesus' day, you know, before refrigeration and canning and a few of those other things. But when we think about this idea of preservation, we're probably thinking about it as making something last longer, which is good. But can I propose to you this morning that preservation is actually about holding back or preventing decay of this world ruining something, stopping the rot from setting in and enabling life. The second application that salt has in this illustration that we are trying to emulate is that salt draws out. Again, assuming that we are all familiar with this idea that salt is used on our food, most likely our main use in today's society, but did you know that it's a universal flavor improver? At low concentrations, it reduces bitterness and increases sweet and sour. Who here has ever tried putting salt on your pineapple and your watermelon? Yeah, one or two of you? Yeah? Yeah, some people are going, what? You should try it. It makes the fruit sweeter. But we also put salt on food, and in high concentrations, it suppresses the sweetness and it draws out the umami, which is good for savory things. And the point here is that salt does not create the flavors. The flavors already exist, put there by a creator. Salt draws them out. And this is our job, to draw out the flavors that God has put in the world around us. The third application that this audience would have had in mind when they've been asked to be salt, that we are probably less familiar with, especially sea salt, is that as a fertilizer. Now, the reason being that our table salt is highly refined and is higher in sodium than it is in potassium and magnesium. And for those who remember their science from school, sea salt has higher potassium. And potassium is also called fertilizer. high potassium quantities in sea salt, which can be put on the ground as a natural organic way of enhancing growth of produce. So as we better understand this illustration, Jesus is saying, you are to hold back the decay of this world and prevent it destroying life. You are to find aspects of what God has created and draw them forth into this world from where they've been hidden. You are to nourish and sustain things to be fruitful. Church, let me encourage you this morning that you are the salt of the earth. When I look at what's been taking place and what we've been celebrating through this partnership, you are holding back the decay of this world when you prevent those relentless calls from creditors, when you're prioritizing food, and when you're enabling sleep for people. You're drawing forth the flavors that God has put in the earth when you put a plan in place to help people see a way forward and realize their dreams. You're nourishing people when you continue to encourage, support, and build community around people, inviting them into this space. Be encouraged, church. You are the salt of the earth. Naturally, this scripture goes on to give us the challenge of not losing our saltiness. And so whilst we celebrate what has happened across 10 years, let that be our challenge as we look to the next 10 years ahead. Church, it's a privilege to come and share with you this morning. I pray that you would be reminded today of the significance of the impact that you are having. But may you also be challenged not to rest on your laurels, but instead to imagine again what the next 10 years could look like, to imagine again what God wants to do in this community, to imagine how a group of you as salty believers could usher in the kingdom of heaven. Kia ora.
Thanks, Sam. Well, you know, it's the ups and downs of life are the same in ministry, in that, and so it's just so cool to celebrate. I love that. I was just thinking about the 1 year versus the 10 years. You know, 1 year you can be going, oh, we haven't really done much, but when you look back over 10 years, it's significant, isn't it? So so we're going to get out, we're going to finish with a final song. We're going to head out, lunch. Have you all bought something? I hope so, because there's going to be lots of food. I know the barbecue's going, I hope. Yeah, it's going. We're going to get out there, celebrate. I really encourage you, sit with someone new, have a conversation, even just for 5 minutes, about someone new. There's a big cake out there. Yeah, we're going to cut that and eat that as well, and just really celebrate the wonder of Jesus and how he has been leading us in partnership with CAP to connect with people who would be rotten. They would be affected by the rottenness of our world, isn't it? And we've been able to be salt to them by helping stem that rot and to draw out the flavour. That video is just so amazing. You'd just see them coming to life, couldn't you? It's wonderful, and that's what's happening and the people that we're connecting with too. So let's stand. We'll sing our final song, and then we'll go and have some lunch.